Hello, beautiful souls.
We bring you conscious content filled with empowering information.
Designed to align you with the fulfilling freedom of activated awareness. Activated awareness.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Existence Podcast. Hey fam, welcome back. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Daniel Alcyon. It's a big show, big topic we have for you today.
But what is new? I mean, that's just where we're going, and it is really exciting.
Yeah, lit up, man.
Lit up. Hey, okay, friends, also, if you haven't done it yet, why don't you go over and check out the Facebook page, and also, I started an Instagram page, so there's like 3 posts on there.
Yeah, specifically for the show, and that's Ecstatic Existence Podcast.
Yeah, and you know, we would really love your feedback there. You know, it's going to be a place where you can get notifications about new shows that are coming out, any little updates. We also have a Patreon, and so we're putting that all together. Really, our passion and our joy is bringing information to you and talking about some of the hard things, but yeah, we also recognize that we need to make it available on many different platforms, and so yeah, we're developing our Patreon, and that just helps keep us going, doing what we're doing.
So right now, there are no bonuses, no kickdowns, no extra hookups. Basically, there's like zero incentive for you to
contribute
to our Patreon. Other than keeping this information going. So I do intend to spice that up a little bit. Maybe we do some exclusives or some Q&As or like some additional content.
We'd
or something.
We'd love some juicy offerings in that.
But right now, there's nothing. So if you feel that what we're doing is valuable, you can contribute and we appreciate it.
Yeah, and we're just looking for different ways to connect because we know that all of you have different platforms that you enjoy most. And
I have recently submitted the show to Spotify, so soon we should be streaming on Spotify as well. Trying to just get these platforms all dialed.
Yeah. Well, we're on Podomatic, Stitcher, iTunes, basically anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts, I think.
Yeah, and every once in a while I'll search our show and I'll find a link to some weird podcast provider I've never heard of that does house our program as well. So you can find us.
Yeah, and for anybody that's new and this is your first episode, welcome, and also know that where we're headed is, it's time for some hard truths. And so if you want more tools on how to deal with these hard truths, go back and listen to all our previous 90 episodes. That's going to really help you.
Yeah, you know, we started this show again with a bunch of empowering information about health, wellness, spirituality. And all of those proactive measures are still really important, but it's also time to just get real with it on a different level than we have much on this show before. So you're in for kind of a new us. This is the us that you might not be really familiar with. And today, probably not a kid-friendly show.
I don't know if much of them are going to be kid-friendly. I mean, it also depends.
It depends on your
kid. If you've got a teenager, sure, bring it. But
and it depends on your parenting style.
Depends on your parenting style. Yeah, so all of that previous body of work that we created is really designed to bolster you as you enter into all of this new stuff. Because now is the time, like I said, for hard truths. It's also a time for dismantling old ideologies and paradigms and really looking, taking a good hard look at yourself in the mirror and looking at the society that we've all contributed in creating and just saying no more. Like, done are the old ways. We're stepping into the new, and it can be really intense. And there's a reason that a lot of people want to just keep their head up their ass or in the sand and not go there, because it's scary. It's some of it's icky. It doesn't feel good.
No. It's the reverse of all that. It's uncomfortable, and it could get you angry, which all of that, again, like I say, that's good.
Get pissed.
That's good.
Get pissed.
But hey, before we dive into all that, I'd like to talk about something that I'm really excited about.
What?
It's actually happening tomorrow. So
cool.
In all of this, see, we still want you to live an ecstatic existence. We still want to help encourage everybody to live their best and most full life. So even if we're talking about some dark topics, we're still going to give you things like that too. Like, what can you do about it to make this a proactive, positive place in the world? So I looked at the current situation, and it's very obvious that the powers that want to be are doing everything they can to divide us and keep us separate and divided. Well, so I decided, how do you push back? What do you do with that? Time to gather people up. And the more I started thinking about it, I realized that the information funnels of the world are getting fewer and fewer. And what happens if they disappear? So what happens if, you know, there's no more YouTube, there's no more Facebook, the information is squashed and scattered and suppressed? Where are we going to learn, and who are we going to learn from? So with this information, I took that as encouragement and kind of a prompt. So I've organized the first ever knowledge potluck. It's going to be hosted here at our property tomorrow. I'm very excited about it. And so I'm encouraging you to do something similar. So yeah. The format of this is it's men only for this one, just because I've largely invited a men's circle that I'm a part of. And so just for this intro one, it's men only. I think we'll do co-ed ones in the future, but just keep everybody comfortable in my group. And so what I have is about 10 to 12 guys that are all going to gather here in our yurt. And we are each bringing knowledge to the potluck. So each of us is going to share in a concise 5 or 10 minute presentation something we want to teach. Anything that's on our heart. It could be like, what's the quickest way to change a tire? It could be like, how to grow cannabis from seed. It could be, you know, here's a meditation or a yoga technique that has really improved my life. Literally, you name it. So I leave it open to the attendees to say, what are you bringing to the table to learn? Each one of us gets a chance to be the presenter, the teacher for a moment, our own private TED talk, if you will. And then the other guys get to do a short Q&A follow-up. But so anyway, I'm really lit up about this and this idea and to keep these going, because this is going to allow the cross-pollination of ideas, mm-hmm. right? And knowledge. And so,
in a time of book burning.
Yeah, of digital and literal book burning. And so, you know, I'm not quite skilled enough to lead a beekeeping class yet because we're so new at it, but let's say that was my talk. Then if I gave a 10-minute talk about the basics of beekeeping and why we should do it, then some of the other guys could be like, oh, hey, Daniel, I'm really interested in this. I'd like to learn more. Let's get together. We'll get together and like just talk that. And so now we have this avenue in to deeper knowledge and to sharing the ways in which we're all kind of, quote, experts at something.
Yeah, which really helps inspire an ecstatic existence. Being in community, learning, having a common goal. I mean, that's being the student and the teacher. How rewarding.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. And that's what they don't want. They don't want us to gather. And in fact, I'm such a friggin' introvert that like for the last few years, I haven't been doing much gathering. And now in the current climate, I'm like gathering more than ever. Jump into what my homestead share?
Yeah, you're trying to get people up in here all the time, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, come on over, everybody. But I think something that I'm really excited about on the homestead is more of that. I mean, that's why we got this land anyway, and now is really the time. It was like we had to lay the infrastructure and create, you know, build it and they will come. Well, they're starting to come now, and I love it. And I actually just had a beautiful sister of mine, a stunning woman of color, come out, and she and I are really planting seeds of collaboration, because, I mean, and this is like kind of a little bit of foreshadowing of where this episode is going to go, but there's a huge racial war that the powers that want to be are trying to create. They love that. I mean, the old divide and conquer tactics are strong and thriving, you know? So they want gender wars. They want like class wars. They want race wars. What other kind of wars do they want?
You love putting me on the spot and throwing me. You tried to get me into your narrative here. Like
anyway, they want us all at odds, right? Mask wars. They want us all totally at odds. And so this beautiful sister and I are like,
oh, I got a couple more for you now because you remember the okay. War on terror, war on drugs. That you know,
yeah,
there's
all,
a couple more.
All
war
things.
On immigration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, she came, we walked the land, we talked, and basically we want to gather the women because that's what we do best. And we want all the women that are, you know, on the spectrum from light to dark and dark to light and just gathering and sharing what we know. So yeah, similar to what you're doing.
So like a ladies' knowledge potluck.
A ladies' knowledge potluck, but you know, really just in this time of divisiveness, having Sublimity Sanctuary be like, no, we're all safe here, we're all equal here. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and so yeah, I encourage all of you to maybe do something similar. See what you can do to build community, to build knowledge, understanding, and wisdom in your community.
Yeah, and be connected, because if you look out your window and you don't know any of your neighbors, well, then you don't know any of your neighbors, and you just think that they did something bad, and they're coming to get them.
Yeah, that van that's taking them away must be there for a reason.
Yeah, but if you actually know the Johnsons and the Jones and the Stevenses, and like you look out and they're like, hey, they're rounding up that whole family, then you can go out there and you can have a plan for your neighborhood. Yep. And how you're going to keep each other safe.
So yeah, that's my ecstatic existence tip is build it. Build that community, yep. get those gatherings together, have a little backyard fire, have a, you know, just an evening tea and discussion gathering. Mm-hmm. Whatever works for you.
Yep.
What about a wellness check, Rach?
A wellness check.
Yeah.
I love this. I like our new format, just saying. Okay. Because I know where we're going with this episode. And actually, real quick, we had a completely different episode planned. We had been... And the episode that we have planned, it's actually maybe good that we're not doing it today because it does require even more research and organization. But we were all set to do it. We had done the research, organized. I think we got to do more of that. But last minute, because of the current climate, we threw it out. We said, we know that that body of work is extra important.
So that's true. Natural law is the foundation for everything, and that is the show we had planned today, but stay tuned. I think it's going to be the next one.
Yeah, it definitely, yeah. It's going to be the next one because everything builds upon that. It's a huge body of amazing work. But we got to stay relevant, and there are things that are percolating. So my wellness is in alignment with that. And so I want to invite each of you to either in this moment or multiple times throughout the day, whenever you can really intentionally be in quietude, is to check in with your ancestors. Make contact. Remember who they are. See what wisdom they have for you. And this is the work that I've been doing for the last year, is connecting in with the ancestors. And whether they were good people or whether they were bad people, they're all crossed over to the other side wherever we go. And they have all been slapped with new awareness of the life that they lived, and they've done some form of reconciliation, and they're here and they're ready to guide you. So call in those that have done the work, that have done the healing on the other side, and the ones that do have that perspective, and the ones that are wanting to be in service to you in your journey towards the light. So they're going to really inform how we can best support one another, how we can really be allies for all of humanity, and especially those that are suffering the most right now. So it's a quick one, but just find that quietude and connect in with them whatever way you can. They're going to guide you.
Yeah, you know, we are a link in a chain, each one of us, and so our ancestors all the way back to eternity, you know, whatever human origin story you subscribe to, that all led up to you in this moment. And so, yeah, I think kind of what Rachel's saying too is, even if, you know, some of our ancestors might not have been the best people, they might have been, had some dark tendencies.
Pillagers and oppressors.
Yeah, for sure. Many of us in our ancestry line somewhere has an abuser, has, you know, an addict, like you name it. But like she's saying, they're not here in physical form anymore. They've learned their lesson, and their lesson is to pass it on to you to live a better life. Yeah. And every single being on the planet really just wants the best for their offspring, wants the best for the next generation. And, you know, it's a pretty common thing that people want a better world for their children than they even had themselves. So the ancestors are looking out for you. Check in with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the topic of this show today is going to be order followers and the evil that is associated with that. So...
I think that even tagging on from our last episode, you can see how people blindly, religiously following orders has gotten us into a huge mess.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, you can even start in with the phrase that people throw around of, like, playing good cop, bad cop. And I'll tell you right now, not all cops are bad, but none of them are good. None. Not a single one.
Yeah, because they've all joined
a gang. Yeah, a control cult. They've joined a gang of thugs.
Yeah.
That are the hired help of the establishment.
Yeah, so let's dive into a little bit of that order following. What does that look like, Daniel?
Well, you know, jumping right to an extreme case, when a lot of the Nazi war criminals were put on trial at the Nuremberg trials, their defense was, well, I was just following orders. Mm-hmm. I was just doing what I was told. Which, at the Nuremberg trials, they deemed that that is not sufficient excuse. That is not that's not an alibi. That's not an excuse.
Yeah, because if you are to say to somebody, let's say you're the ruling class satanic elite, and you have an agenda, and you say, hey, they know the rules. They know that whoever pulls the trigger has the most moral culpability. So from the top of the pendulum all the way down, they know that they would be karmically, morally, however you want to put it, responsible for any act that they personally did. And so in order to, like, not have literal blood on their hands, they put it in someone else's lap and they say, hey, you're a good soldier, or you're a good member of the police force. You know, even our governor in his most recent address said, we have put together a team of wonderful order followers, and they are so good at following orders, these trained military and police personnel, and so they're going to follow orders, and that's the best thing that they're going to be able to do to move forward on these plans and execute X, Y, and Z.
Well, being an order follower is possibly the primary downfall of our moral society, because now you have a group of people that are signing up for a job and saying that I will do the things that are commanded of me regardless of my moral leaning, without question. Even if I disagree with what is being told, I will still do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have the people at the top saying, these are the bad guys, go kill them. And they say, aye, aye, Captain, I'll do that. Yep. Without even questioning, well, maybe this person has a wife and kids, and maybe they're not, you know, like, they don't have all of the information. And the problem is that they don't have all the information, and they're not connecting in with their own conscience and their own inner guidance system. They're just doing what they're told. You know, and we've all been raised up this way. It's insidious. It goes, yeah.
Parenting, schools, you know, yeah. What about the, what I think is a very dated and damaging parenting modality of, because I said so.
Because I'm the mom, because I'm the dad. You do what I say.
With no reasoning given, with no, like, justification given of, like, because I say so, you must do this.
Yeah. So parents, if you're speaking to your children that way, and that's your justification, you're training them to be order followers and to just get in line, yes ma'am, yes sir, and then they're more apt to join these mega cults where that's the doctrine. You do what we say. I would never want somebody just to do what I said because I said so. You know, I think that a healthy level of questioning is really in order. And, yeah.
And there's also to be honest, a tremendous amount of laziness involved in being an order follower. Because you are...
And accountability.
Putting your personal accountability and your moral decision-making just on a hook. You're just hanging it up over there. I'm not going to need this while I'm in this service. I'm not going to need my rationality. I'm not going to need my accountability because I'm just doing what I'm told. So it's lazy. It's lazy because it makes this person not stand up for the truth.
Mm-hmm. That they know and feel in their every part of their being. Or these people are so soul sick, you know, and damaged that maybe they did grow up in a household where it was just do what I say. And they want to, you know, the inner child wants to always please mommy and daddy. So then they go and join a cult or a gang where they can get some praise, you know. They get promoted the more, orders that they follow. They get bigger paychecks. They get more prestige. They get more little accolades and pins and celebrations the more orders they follow.
Hey, and you even get like a special parking spot when you go to Home Depot, right? Like, thank right. you for your service.
Right. And so the problem, too, is that then you're falling into a belief structure and where you believe that some people have more authority and more power than anybody else. It's not based on any kind of equality. It's not based on any kind of moral compass. A small group of ruling class people has said, hey, you need us to keep everybody in line. And so we're going to appoint these other humans that are, you know, with their faults and their...
It's just Joe. It's just Susie. You take off that uniform and a badge and they're just like you.
But we put them in a costume. They get to dress up in a costume every day. And we get to give them, you know, firearms and other things. And then they think that they get to just be on a power trip.
And to go around looking for things, to go around just looking for any possible infraction. Also notice, too, it's even in the name. Cops used to be referred to as peace officers. In common slang, people would say they were peace officers. Now they're police. They're policy enforcers. Mm-hmm. They're not about keeping the peace. They're about enforcing the policies of the politicians.
Well, and even that peace officer was an inverted... because we live in an inverted world where, you know, evil is good and good is evil and everything's all topsy-turvy, and that's what we're all sorting out right now. But yeah, even the peace officer was an inversion, because the original formation of the police was rooted in slavery. You would have slaves that would escape and, you know, go to maybe the northern states, and so you would have a gang of dudes with, you know, firearms that would round them up. They were slave wranglers, and they would bring them back to the southern states to be dealt with, or they would bring them back to their slave master to be dealt with. So it was really a whole gang, a whole troop of dudes that was rooted in slavery.
They were basically like bounty hunters and hitmen for the wealthy plantation owners.
Yeah, and then it just became a super easy transition to be like, oh, well, why don't you just enforce all of the policy? You know, here, we'll make some magical law that's not in alignment with natural law, which we'll get into in the next. We just got to go natural law. that's not rooted in any natural law. It's man's law. And we can make it up with a whim. And we even, I mean, even the idea that certain people have the ability to just wave their wands and make up a rule, you know, it's so like little kids playing a game, you know. There's the rules of the game that people generally know. And then a little kid, just in order to win, will be like, oh, but I can actually do this. I can do this. And then you have the policy enforcers that just say, yes, sir, I will. I will go do that. You know, and so there are, many of us know police officers. We might be related to them. We might be married to them. Same with the military. I grew up in a family of military going way back. It was like proud military family on all sides. So my plea is that if you really love these people, if you really love your brother and your sister that are in law enforcement and military, you will tell them to get out. Get out. Get on the right side. They are on the wrong side. They are working for the enslavement cult that is doing massive damage to all of humanity and especially to people of color right now. And they got to get on the right side.
And this is nothing new.
Get out of the gang.
The thing that has prompted this topic today to jump to the forefront is because of, you know, recent events of yet another.
Yet another.
Citizen, innocent citizen minding their own business, murdered by uniformed police. Thug-ass uniformed police. Murdered in broad daylight. This is tens of thousands of people, of American citizens. Now, if you don't call that a war, I don't know what it is. So you're saying that tens of thousands of unarmed U.S. American citizens were mowed down and killed by a militarized force that's among us. Now, the thing that gets even weirder is that these powers that wish they be, these dark occultists, the satanic ruling class elite, refer to the police and the military as their dogs. This is their little slang for them. So if there's a country or maybe a large corporation that isn't acting quite right, and they, you know, a demographic of the population that they want to teach
eradicate.
A lesson to or eradicate, they sick the dogs on them.
Yeah,
this is where soldiers wear dog tags.
They laugh at the police. The satanic ruling class, they laugh at the police and the military.
Mock them.
They just think that they're the most ridiculous order-following losers, and they know that they're going to do anything that they tell them to do. Then they're free of moral culpability, and it all goes then onto the person who pulled the trigger. And they just, yep, that's why they wear dog tags. That's why the checkerboard, you know,
okay.
That checkerboard pattern that's on the old cop cars and on the old police hats, and
especially if you look up
and badges,
any images of British police hats, you will find a black and white checker band that goes around the hat. This is in reference to, in the Masonic tradition of Freemasons, they use a black and white checkerboard floor that symbolizes the playing field. This symbolizes
the chess game.
And when they wrap this band around the heads of the uniformed officers, policy enforcers, they're saying, you are but a pawn in our game.
Yeah.
You are the lowest member of the board. You are disposable and expendable, and we control you.
And they wrap it around the head because they're under mind control. I mean, this is a gang. There's no difference between the police force and, you know, the mafia. No difference at all. They both think that they are above the law. They both think that they can use violent means of getting the job done. They hold a huge population under duress. You owe me, you do what I say in any means possible.
Or else. And it's
or
that
else.
Or else with the threat of violence. And violence, mind you, is even if somebody is not physically assaulted by a police officer.
Oh, implied violence.
An act of violence is putting someone in a cage.
An act
of
violence. Locking
somebody up.
Is pulling them over.
Any with flashing
time,
lights and a gun on their
anytime you've ever been pulled over, it's not for your safety. It's not for the safety of your fellow man. They are inciting an act of violence against you. They are threatening you with violence. Yep, with the fear tactics of the lights and the walking up to you and the power control. I mean, so
it's
done.
Sickening.
I'm so done.
And the thing is, it's so pervasive that even, you know, sweet old grandmas that have never committed a crime in their life, when they look in their rearview mirror driving and see a cop behind them, their heart rate goes up.
Oh, they have a panic attack. I mean, I can even feel the rush of adrenaline. It's such a sick, insidious feeling that moves through it. My whole hands and arms tingle, and sometimes it rushes through my whole body depending on the amount of fear that I'm in, just even driving by a cop. You know, but if we can dismantle that, if we can really just be like, that's a dude in a Halloween costume that thinks he has power. Wow, that's ridiculous. You know, but I also say that from my point of privilege, you know, and being a nice white lady and that owns land. For many of us, it's not that easy of just laughing at the dude in the Halloween costume.
And there's the thing, no amount of quote sensitivity training or diversity training or anything that these organizations, these thug gangs can do will actually stop the inherent profiling that goes all the way through the systems. They are trained readily to profile left and right. So even if it's like, oh, that car looks a little more run down, they're more likely to maybe have drugs in the car. They're more likely to not have up-to-date insurance and papers.
Yeah, you or better, tabs. Or
tabs or whatever. So, and then that really goes for people of color. Ooh, that person with brown skin might be an immigrant. I might be able to catch a illegal immigrant in that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They're just looking and hunting for anybody who doesn't fit their fucking standardization model. Okay?
Yeah, and it's all rooted in that original slave wrangling mentality. And slavery, black slavery, never went away. I mean, humanity has always been enslaved, which we'll get into that later. So I think that if we can all recognize that we're enslaved, and that there are some portion of our brothers and sisters that are even more enslaved and profiled, like Daniel said, then we're one step closer to being able to get free. And it starts with eradicating these gangs that do the evil bidding.
So Rachel, you just say that the systematic slavery of people of color in the United States hasn't stopped. What is it called today?
Well, now it's called for-profit prison and public execution.
Yeah, it's the prison system.
Yep.
It's the prison system where people legally, quote legally, by their states, people are made to work for pennies an hour. And pressing your license plates and building your fucking furniture.
Yeah, and if you look into the history, you know, if you look into the root of the police force, and then you look into the root of when slavery finally was publicly, you know, the facade was abolished, you see that then that's when they just started rounding up all the black people and putting them in jail. Oh, we can't do lynchings anymore, and we can't just, you know, keep them on the plantation. So yeah, we'll put them in a prison where they work. Or we do these stylized satanic rituals, like the most recent one where you have a man, a cop, can't even call him a man, this asshole cop kneeling on a black man's neck for 10 fucking minutes, which is totally outside of normal police protocol, which whatever that ridiculousness is.
Casually too much.
Casually, soullessly looking into the camera, not even caring that this man is suffocating. That was a public execution, blood sacrifice.
And people, they're doing this to tear us apart. They're doing this to literally tear this country apart. And now when I say country, I'm not talking about any flag-waving United States of America. I'm talking about this body
land
of land
and
the people that are here and comprise this beautiful, beautiful country. So I
they
do
want
not,
a race war.
I do not honor in any way or respect my government. As a matter of fact, it's pure evil. But I love this country, and I love the people that make it up. And so they're trying to tear us apart. They're trying to make us see each other as the enemy. So that's why we're talking about this. You know, the founding fathers of this country often get a bad rap. The people
and
that,
rightly so, some of it.
Rightly so, some of it. But a lot of the men that really, truly brought this country into being, founded it as a land of free people. Now, Yes, some of them were slave owners. This was a very ingrained thing at this time. But if you dig deeper and do a little research, many of who we look at as the founding fathers of America were actually very against it.
Yeah, that signed the Declaration of Independence. They even, when they were forming the Bill of Rights, they even came, there were a few of these men that even came forward and said, no, we want it to say equality for everybody, and wanted to abolish slavery right then and there. But it was, like Daniel said, it was so ingrained in the culture.
And there were standouts that said, no, we won't sign any of it. Yeah, unless...
there were some bad apples amongst the group, and they said, we won't sign any of it. All the Southern ones, because they had so much money wrapped up in slavery, the Southern states would not sign any of the documents with these slavery clauses in. So there were dudes that fought, and they had to actually have meetings and say, you know what, fine, we'll go after we're going to go after freeing the slaves at a later date. We just have to move forward on all of this. And in fact, at that time, it was punishable by death to release a slave, a black slave, because this is how sick and twisted they, a lot of these dudes were. They likened it to releasing a dangerous predatory wild animal into the midst of civilization. So it'd be like if you had you had tigers, you know, in your backyard, and then you released them, that would be punishable by death because it would be doing damage to society. But this is how they viewed it. So, you know, sure, they were really flawed men.
In a flawed time,
and a lot of them tried to stand up for what was right, and in order to just move forward with some semblance of freedom, they just went ahead with that and decided to go after the other topics later.
But anyway, the Founding Fathers, it's a bit of a tangent, but so do your own research, and the Founding Fathers are actually quite noble men that I did not used to agree with. I didn't think that, but in learning a little more...
I used to be like, fuck those dudes. And I still think, fuck government. I don't want any of this, but, you know, our Constitution has been null and void for the last 150 years anyway, and was founded in a way that didn't even make sense to begin with.
So anyway. These Founding Fathers, one of their biggest concerns was a standing army amidst the people. So some of the quotes here, a standing army is one of the greatest mischiefs that can possibly happen. That was by James Madison. Standing armies are dangerous to liberty, Alexander Hamilton. None but an armed nation can dispense with a standing army, Thomas Jefferson. So, what is this standing army they're talking about?
Warning
us about that freedom cannot exist if there is a standing army in your midst. Look around at those badged, uniformed, and armed cops that you see driving around, patrolling, looking if you have the right sticker on your license plate. If you have the right sticker that you've paid the state money on your license plate or not.
Under the facade that they're here to serve and protect you, but they're not. You pay for them to serve and protect your masters.
Because in their motto of to serve and protect, there's a little dot, dot, dot there that we never get to hear the end of the story of. It doesn't say to serve and protect the citizens. It doesn't say that. It's to serve and protect whose interests, I might ask you.
Mm-hmm. They're here to keep the sheep in line. And if a sheep steps out of line, or they don't like how you look, or they don't like the car you drive, they can take you out.
Or if you're not wearing the appropriate government-mandated safety regulation headwear, right? We're moving there, people. We're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see videos of people getting tackled by police for not wearing a mask in public. You know, like, this is what we're getting to. So what is funding all of this? What is funding this militarization of the police? First, let's even talk about what is that, this militarization of the police. That is quite simply where police precincts start using increasingly militaristic tactics, weapons, and technology. So instead of being a group of, quote, peace officers that maybe, you know, are designed to help with a domestic dispute or, you know, maybe even determine the fault of an auto accident or something like that. You know, quote, keeping the peace. Now they have tanks and they have like sonic weapons and they have AKs and they have like battalion style SWAT team bulletproof gear.
How's your standing army, America?
How's your standing army? In where we live, in a little
podunk nowhere,
beautiful Grape View, Washington. We're just out in a tiny little town. Close, nearby
25
city, 25 minutes away, is the city of Belfair, Washington.
Also small.
Small. Very small. I mean, if I was going to guess, I would say maybe as like 20,000 people, maybe. There's a storage facility, like an outdoor storage unit, where I drove by and I looked over and saw the city of Belfair has like an armored personnel carrier, has like a tank sitting there with their, you know, Belfair Police Department logos on it, proudly just being stored at the storage unit.
How did they get that tank, Daniel?
Well, they got that tank because the United States government has been funneling military equipment into the police departments at discount prices. So things that have been used, maybe like, oh, this thing got a good run in Desert Storm, but we're getting new military equipment.
Right?
We're going to retire it. So they just sell it to a bidder of your local police departments. So
how do they get the funding for that kind of big machinery, Daniel?
Big purchases, right? How are these local police departments that, you know, might even say in some media outlets, oh, well, our resources are really taxed. We don't have enough resources to keep cops on the street, but yet you're buying armored personnel carriers.
I mean, the basic one that pays their paycheck is very simple, which you all know about at the first of the month. They're really gathering up those traffic infractions, just pulling people over because they did a California stop, or
when there's nobody else there,
nobody
not endangering
around,
anybody else,
right? Or like, oh, do you have a seatbelt on? I mean, they're so concerned for your safety that they're going to pull you over to see if you have a seatbelt on.
Right, like those times where you see someone will be pulled over, get a speeding ticket or whatever tickets they're issuing, and then as soon as that person drives away, the cop already got that radar gun out again, just ready, just banking them
mm-hmm,
up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or they're, you know, they're going to give you a ticket because you don't have a garbage bag in your car, because they really, they just genuinely care about your cleanliness and your health and what you, how you're going to properly dispose of your soda can.
So one of the main ways that these things are funded is a program and law that many people don't even know about, and it's called asset forfeiture.
Oh my gosh, please do so much more research than what we're going to really just tip you off to.
Also called civil forfeiture. This really started getting brought on in the, quote, war on drugs in the 1980s. Let me back it up a little bit. The militarization of the police force started in Prohibition in the 1920s, where all of a sudden there were, you know, the government instantly just deemed that this substance that was fine yesterday is no longer fine and it's now illegal. And so the people that still wanted to have some rum or whatever are now criminals. They weren't before. Now they're criminals. And so the police departments started getting Tommy guns and machine guns and bulletproof vests and armoring their vehicles and all of this. So that's when that started. But now this civil forfeiture basically means that a policy enforcement officer can confiscate anything that they deem might be incorporated with a crime. So the law is very state by state, but what that means is, let's say you are in a state where marijuana is illegal and you have one joint in your ashtray. A cop could pull you over and say, if they have civil forfeiture laws in that state, they could say, well, since you have this illegal material here, you have this illicit drug, and you're in this vehicle, so we're going to assume that this vehicle was used to purposely deliver and distribute that illegal material. It's ours now. We confiscate your car. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to sell it at auction, keep 100% of the money as profit, and then buy a tank with it. So that is literally what is happening right now.
So basically, civil forfeiture is they can deem any reason to take your shit and then sell it, get the money, and do whatever they want with it. Pay their paychecks, buy buy guns.
There are cases. The more you look up civil forfeiture, there's really crazy stuff. There's one where a youth group, a church youth group, was doing like a road trip across the country, raising funds for their church, right? They were like doing a fundraiser. Yeah,
like a mission or something.
Like a mission. They're doing like car washes in every state, you know, something like that. And so they had like $5,000 or $7,000 cash in their bus. The bus got pulled over. The cash got taken because the cops assumed that no one would have that amount of cash on them unless it was a crime. So the church youth group got their entire fundraiser taken with no receipt is given, mind you. Zero receipt of any kind is given that they have your property. So I have in front of me a website. This is criminal.findlaw.com. This is a criminal law website, and it has the asset forfeiture laws state by state. And I'm not going to read them all to you, but just to tell you a couple basic things here. In Alabama, it gives me the code, Alabama code 20-2-93. The preponderance of evidence, Alabama can seize any property, proceeds, or instrumentality of any kind if used in commission of a crime. So if they think it's related to a crime, they can take it. The requirements of where the forfeiture proceeds go, none. Zero requirements, zero accounting. 100% of forfeiture proceeds go directly to the law enforcement agency. So now, you tell me that's not a conflict of interest, that if you hear, oh, the more shit you take, the more things you confiscate, the more money we have in our asset. That's real scary. That's just like a for-profit prison saying, for every day we have you in here, we get to bill the state and make money. We have no incentive of ever letting you out because you are an asset to us.
Yeah, or giving you your stuff back. Why would we give you your life or your stuff back when we can make a lot of money off of you? So again, friends, follow the money, you know? They're taking people's belongings and livelihood and holding all of us in a state of perpetual duress. You wanted me to look that up. Definition of duress so that you all know that if you are a human on this planet and you have a government of any kind, you are being held in a perpetual state of duress.
Yeah, and I have another article here. You could look into the 1033 program, which was created by the National Defense Authorization Act for 1997, where because of this, it allowed law enforcement agencies to get their hands on military hardware. This is about the militarization of police. Between 1997 and 2014, $5.1 billion in material was transferred from the Department of Defense to local law enforcement agencies. There's about 8,000 law enforcement agencies were participating in this program. All of this money that they're buying these military equipment with comes from civil asset forfeiture. CAF is a major driver. Here is a short list of military hardware purchased with CAF funds. A $5 million helicopter for the Los Angeles Police Department.
Necessary.
A $1 million mobile command bus for Prince George County, Maryland. I'm sure Prince George County, Maryland is such a hotbed of insurgents and terror that they need a mobile command unit, right? How about $227,000 for a tank in Douglasville, Georgia? How's your freedom, Douglasville, Georgia? You have a standing army that has, by duress and force, stolen property from your citizens and used it to buy a tank.
Yep. Yep. To protect them, though,
from the bad guys.
Yeah.
How about $54,000 for 27 M4 assault rifles in Braselton, Georgia? Braselton, Georgia. They have 27 M4 assault rifles. Totally necessary.
To use against the people that paid for it, that they stole from. Yeah, so we're all being held in a state of duress, which is the threat of violence or coercion. It also is the constraint or difficulty caused by misfortune. So, Issuing a driving infraction, a citation, that is you being held in duress. It's a threat of violence on a very small scale. I mean, even you just walking by cops and seeing the gun on their hip and you're not allowed to have that, that's you being, that's a threat of violence.
Yep, Absolutely. Psychological violence is violence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Implied violence is violence.
So please do some more research on the civil asset forfeiture. It is written into our laws to funnel money and possessions from the population into the hands of our standing militarized army that is in every single city in this nation.
You know, and there's just so many people that are stuck in the belief structure that the police are there for you and that they are a civil servant, and that is just not the case. That's just not how it is. And, you know, I post all kinds of things. I shared this about police. I'm not trained to protect you. I am not trained to serve you. I am not trained to think. I am trained to follow orders and violently enforce arbitrary written rules on paper called law. I may kidnap, assault, lie, and murder with your money. I am the real threat to your liberty. I am a gang member of the state. They work for the state. They don't work for you. And people are so fucking ignorant. They want to ignore this fact. They want to ignore that this gang, you know, works for the elite. And they want to come to their defense. They're in such Stockholm syndrome about it that they sympathize with the abusers. And they say things like, oh, well, that's just too divisive for you to point out that these people work for an evil corporation. And they want to say, you know, that's just not my experience of them. My experience is that they've been very helpful and kind. And sure, they can be helpful. They can be kind. They can smile. They might be your brother or your husband or your mother. But they have joined the evil forces.
And taken an oath to protect their interests and not yours.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then it's really harmful, you know, to say, oh, you know, well, we're all entitled to our opinion. No, you don't get to be entitled to any opinion that perpetuates slavery and abuse of other beings. You don't get to have that opinion. No. You don't get to be in that bullshit belief system that says that other people are allowed to be slave masters over others to any degree.
Like this man that was just murdered, this man of color that was just ritualistically murdered by a goon in a uniform, right? If one single person is standing by and watching that and said, oh, well, but he was just doing his job. You are the problem. If you're saying they were just doing their job, you are the problem.
Yeah. Or if you say, you know, oh, that's not my experience of the police that they kidnap and murder and abuse and threaten. Well, great. You're fucking lucky. You're really lucky if they don't come through your neighborhood, you know, mean mugging and throwing their weight around in a violent fashion. You are very lucky. You know, that means that your experience, you had a good one, and it's not aligned with truth. Because the truth is, they are violent. The truth is, they are oppressive. The truth is, they are set in a structure that is designed to keep humanity enslaved. So, awesome that you know, they rescued your kitten from the tree, and that you had a good time with the police, but that's not who they really are.
No. There's a couple more stories that I've gathered and really, I think, paint a good picture here of what's going on. There's a old man in, I believe it's Louisiana, who has very, very strict drug laws. It's funny, like you're home to Mardi Gras, but then like they lock you up for a single joint, you know, go to prison for it. But very strict drug laws. And the helicopters, the police helicopters flying over the city noticed a strange...
At $1 million a pop.
Yeah, $1 to $5 million.
That
you paid for. Noticed...
That they stole from you.
A strange crop growing in this man's backyard. So, they raided his house, kick down his door, you know, break his physical possessions, violate his personal privacy and sanctity safety. And safety, throw this man on the ground, handcuff him. Well, guess what this crop that they were raiding was? It was
okra. It was the vegetable okra that from a helicopter, paid for by this man and all of his neighbors and all of his friends, paid for these cops to kick down his door and raid his okra crop. You know, that's only one of many. Another one very recently, a lady, 65-year-old woman, got her house raided by a SWAT team. Same thing.
Thrashed.
House totally destroyed because her snitch-ass realty agent, her Century 21 agent, thought that there was weed growing outside. It was hibiscus plants. The old man loved hibiscus plants, and it had a similar flower. It had a similar leaf. So this snitch-ass fool is like, hey, I think this couple's growing weed. And so this SWAT team kicks down the door. They have this 65-year-old woman in her underwear on her front lawn for like 2 hours. And then in the back of a cop car for another 5 hours before they even rectify the situation.
Yeah, because you're enforcing policy. I'm telling you, if you're a cop and you're listening to this, or if you know one or anyone in the military, tell them to get on the right side. Stop following blind orders. They are morally culpable. Your slave masters don't care about you. They don't care about you.
No.
You're there to do their work, and you are totally expendable. Send in the dogs, and we'll laugh and laugh and laugh. You know, and there are certain functions that the police just turn a blind eye to. They stand outside of these ritual, satanic cult events, and they just barricade the door, and they turn a blind eye. That happens routinely. So they ain't on your side.
No. And something that you can do, something that all of us can do, if somebody you know, if your little cousin or nephew or brother-in-law or sister-in-law or whatever are talking about, oh yeah, like, you know, when I think I'm going to go into the military when I graduate high school, or like, I'm thinking about going to the police academy and becoming a cop. Here's your opportunity to talk about this, to say, I do not support that. And if you do make that choice, I will not maintain a relationship with you. That's hard to say. It's hard to hear. But if enough people, instead of saying, oh yeah, Billy, you're going to be a great Marine, you're going to be great at killing people in different countries, instead of saying that bullshit and giving them a special parking place and a little banner that flies over the streets of your city that say, Billy proudly served as a Marine, instead of making these people heroes, if we collectively say, that's fucked up and I don't support it, I don't support you joining that thug gang, maybe we'd have a different society and less people would be signing up for it. Also, notice how, if you do your research, you'll find that military recruitment goes real strong in places of poverty. Mm-hmm. If you're in a poor community, those recruiters are just scooping boys up left and right, young boys and girls, because they know that these young people don't see any other opportunity. And they dangle this carrot on the stick in front of them and say, you'll get to travel. We'll pay for your college. You couldn't go to college otherwise. Just serve us for a few years. Your soul will be ours, and
you're expendable.
You're in, mm-hmm. And you're a hero now.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of it, you know, falls on creature comforts, right? And so if you're so attached to your creature comforts and getting a nice house and a nice car and all these things, that you would sell your soul for a paycheck, or you ladies would encourage your man to go sell his soul for a paycheck, not good. Not good.
I have a couple more things for you just to look up yourself. There's currently future militarization projects in the works. It's under DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Super evil. This is absolutely evil. Weapons projects currently being worked on include invisible ray guns, shotgun taser, skull-piercing microwaves, and long-range acoustic weaponry.
Yeah, they're going to give these clowns all this human-damaging machinery.
And then think about it. You get a big armored personnel carrier, or you get, like, a brain-piercing microwave, you get really expensive equipment. You're just itching to put that stuff to use. You don't get this stuff to have it sit on a shelf and collect dust. You get it to use it.
Yeah, you gotta
justify the purchase.
Yeah, totally. You know, and something else. So they're creating a racial divide, right? They're publicly murdering, ritual blood sacrificing our melanated brothers and sisters on camera.
And this is nothing new.
And and they're getting everybody riled up, which all the people of color have every right to. They have every right to go riot in the street. If somebody touches you in a violent way, you have every right to kill them.
And you know what?
To fight back, to protect yourself.
Me, as a pink-skinned individual, I have every right to be pissed that they are killing my black-skinned brothers mm-hmm. and sisters. You know what I mean? My human compatriots. And it's my call and my duty to get angry about that and to not turn a blind eye. Just because it didn't happen to me or my family, just because the people that maybe it's happening to in larger percentages maybe look different than me, still my job to get pissed about it.
Yeah, if you're not pissed, you're part of the problem. If you're not standing up, you're part of the problem. So they're creating the racial divide. People are rioting in the streets. And you know what these fucking thug-ass assholes do? They go undercover. And they start arsons. And they start little bombs. And they throw shrapnel here and there to make it look like the rioters that were peaceful are now not peaceful. And then, you know what? Then they have a tactic to come in and say, hey, look, they're violent protesters. We got to come in and protect everybody. And in which case, then they bring out their tanks and they bring out their guns.
And next thing, it's the sonic brain weapons, yep. You know, sonic
brain laser beams. It's a free-for-all, and they get to put all their weapons in use.
And then they say, oh, well, it sure is a good thing we had all this equipment, because look at these rowdy people. Like, it's great we were well prepared for this,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now, here's another one. If this doesn't get your blood boiling enough already, how about the persistent and ongoing murder by police of dogs? They will use it as a tactic to specifically psychologically traumatize you. If you don't do exactly what they say, there's videos upon videos. You can find tons of videos of this, of police point blank saying, I will kill your dog. I will shoot your dog if you don't do what I say. This is documented by the Puppyside Database Project. Look it up yourself. Puppyside Database Project is a record of how many people's dogs police have just murdered and killed specifically to psychologically damage them and to control the situation.
And the longer they're along, the longer your brothers and sisters are in this gang, the more soul-sucking it becomes. I mean, there's just ample footage, you know, and you may be squeamish and you may not want to look at this darkness, but it is important to just watch some of the videos. Watch some of the heinous abuse of animals and children and humans that they're perpetuating.
And I would also like to say that this is not just about America. This is not about the United States of America. This is a worldwide problem.
Oh,
if you're police force in Israel, if you're police in Zimbabwe, it doesn't matter to me.
Oh, yeah. Them just dragging Chinese citizens through the street, you know, behind the cop car. It's heinous.
Yep. And same with the military. So you get one group of people. It's so easy to point the finger and say, those are the bad guys. Go kill them. And meanwhile, all these guys that are actively trying to kill each other, if they just sat down over like a cup of coffee and a game of checkers, they could be best friends. You know what I mean? Like, it's all the order following that is the problem. Another extreme example, think of somebody like Charles Manson, right? This brings like, ooh, an evil. He's an evil guy. Yeah, sure. That dude said some evil shit. He said, hey, go kill people. He didn't kill anybody. The real moral culpability is on the people that listened and followed orders. That's who killed. Okay, that's who is really guilty. Yes, there's some moral culpability for even saying heinous things and trying to encourage others, but there you have a little bit of removal because they didn't have to do the work.
Yeah, it's like when your mama would say, just if somebody told you to jump off a bridge, would you? No, of course you wouldn't. these people are so damaged that they would. They would do that. They would do whatever their commanding, higher-up ranking person told them to do without any question.
And they've convinced themselves that that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that they don't have any moral culpability. So that even if, you know, oh, we have orders to tackle this grandmother, they're like, I don't really want to, but I was told to, so it's fine. And then they just wash their hands of it at the end of the day as if they weren't even involved.
But their soul doesn't.
No.
The soul takes a big hit. So looping it back around to an ecstatic existence, in order for every being on this planet to be living their best life, these institutions have got to be dissolved. They've got to be dissolved, and you can no longer be enslaving your fellow brother and sister for a paycheck. You do not have the right, no one has the right, to tell other people what to do, how to live. So my great wish, my big desire is that people will be leaving these gangs in droves, that they'll finally wake up and say, wow, I've been involved in some evil shit, and walk away. Just walk away. Yep. There are plenty other ways to earn a livelihood that don't damage your soul
and harm others.
And harm others.
You know what a far more noble profession than military or police is? Far more noble. Sanitation worker.
Yep.
A garbage truck driver is a far more noble profession, an honorable profession, than a hired thug.
Yeah. So get out of these institutions. Tell your friends and family to get out of these institutions. You know, and receive them with love. Because human freedom is at stake.
It is. Well, we love you so much. That's why we keep sharing this info. Again, this one's pretty spicy, but we got to go there. So, you know, check the different formats. Check the Instagram, Ecstatic Existence Podcast. Check into Facebook, the Ecstatic Existence page. We do have a Patreon. If you think this information is important, maybe kick down. We will work on retooling that and giving some little goodies and kickbacks to y'all.
Yeah, and do what you can to take good care of yourself, you know. Get your smudge out. Do a meditation. You know, realign with the ancestors. Help them to, you know, guide you. And ultimately, any of this anger and this, you know, fear, just showing us where we need more love.
Yeah. Maybe go back and listen to an older episode of the Ecstatic Existence Podcast and get yourself a little update or a little inspirational modality.
And please, please, please tune into our next episode. We're going to go natural law. It's really important. It might be a multi-parter depending on how long it goes, but...
Which is so funny because it's like, when you boil it down, it's so simple.
Oh, it's like a phrase.
It's a phrase, but you need to set the stage and the ground rules and everything that we're coming from. So I'm going to leave you with a quote today. This is a quote by Joel Stein. The truth is that people who pull triggers are ultimately responsible, whether they're following orders or not. An army of people making individual moral choices may be inefficient, but an army of people ignoring their morality is horrifying. Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit because I ain't. Selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to take off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole up bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Ice Cube will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. Just cause I'm from the CPT, punk police are afraid of
MC Ren, will you please give your testimony to the jury about this fucked up incident? Fuck the police, and Ren said it with authority. Because the niggas on the street is a majority of gang. That's what whoever I'm stepping. And a motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law. Wishing Ren was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me. But they're scared of a nigga, so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh. Because it gives them a hint not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying, fuck you, punk. Read my rights and shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club, so you stand with a big ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up. And we'll go at it, punk, and I'ma fuck you up. Make you think I'ma kick your ass. They can't cope with me. The motherfucking villain that's mad. With potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around. Put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that. But it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police would make my day. But a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
When I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Cause the police always got something stupid to say. They put out my picture with silence. Cause my identity by itself causes violence. So E with the criminal behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun and a badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. This is what I'll say.
The jury finds you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.